Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family.
What?
My name is Dustin Dickerson. Yes. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California is my lovely wife, my co-host, my best friend, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Good to see you, Mel.
We're twinning.
Yeah. Go Mariners. Nice. Yeah, if this comes out on Thursday, we may have clinched a playoff spot by then. We'll see. It could happen as early as today. If we win and somebody else loses, I forget who needs to. It's complicated, all the playoff scenarios. We may win the West. I don't know. We also could do the most Mariner thing ever and all fall apart. But who knows? The vibes are good right now.
Okay.
It's good to see you. Producer Annie Lara is here as well.
Hello.
Hello.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
We're talking Emmy party.
Nate Bargatze hosted the Emmys.
Yes.
And we went to the after party.
We sure did.
And all I got was this dumb after party. You remember the old shirts?
Yes. Uh-huh.
All I got was this dumb shirt.
My grandma went to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, we can do it. Well, let me hold up the shirt. Yeah. This will be a good bit. Here. Oh, the tote bag. Nate Bargatze hosted the Emmys, and all I got was this tote bag.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us, Nate. We had a great time. Now, we're going to talk a lot about our time. We had a little anniversary weekend that involved going to the Emmy party at Nate. They very graciously invited us to. I went and caught a concert. It was anniversary time. Grandma came to town. We've been seeing some volleyball. I got a weekend recap to get to. We got lots of emails to get to. Lots of stuff. Before I do any of that, let me let you guys know about some upcoming comedy dates. This weekend, I'm going to be in Stamford, Connecticut at the New York Comedy Club, September 26th through 27th. October, we have Murray, Kentucky, Boston, San Francisco, Kansas City, Seattle, Corvallis. And then November, Nashville, San Diego, Tulsa. December, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Brooklyn, New Brunswick, New Jersey, January and beyond. I got a bunch of new cities. Listen closely to them and go to DustinNickerson.com and check them out. Dallas, Houston, Charleston's a new city. Raleigh's a new city. Boise is a new city. Salt Lake, Phoenix, Chicago's a new city. D.C.'s a new city. Everett, Washington's a new city. Tacoma, Philadelphia, Fort Wayne, Portland, Spokane, Vancouver, Las Vegas, Atlanta, Columbus, Cincinnati, Louisville and Denver, Colorado. Louisville, I always think of Zoltan's bit. I had a great bit about Louisville. Louisville. It goes, yeah, I can't say it right. I got too many teeth in my mouth. It's a perfect joke. Zoltan's underrated. Zoltan's great, but he has so many jokey jokes that like he slips into the longer stories. But one of the first ones he ever wrote was he's talking about he's raised by a single mom. And he's like, so it's tough. You know, my mom had to teach me how to shave, which was like kind of embarrassing, but I did have the smoothest legs in middle school. It's a great joke. You didn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. You knew a joke was coming and you're like, I never saw it coming. It's hard to hide a misdirect because audiences watch enough comedy anymore that sometimes they see it coming or they expect it. And you knew some twist was going to happen there, but the smoothest legs, great joke. Anyway, Zoltan Kacis, great comic. We had a great Patreon Zoom hang yesterday.
Yeah, we did. It was good times.
We talked about two things. We had two big topics. What were you going to say?
I couldn't remember anything.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
I, it's going to come to me.
Well, we were discussing, you know, I do the crowd work thing with Tay, and I'm out with her, and then the pew, the crowd confessions, and there was a question that had come up on Nate Land, and then one that also me and Taylor had been fighting about. One, is pumpkin a strong enough flavor to be year-round? Taylor thinks it should be year-round.
Yeah.
I do not. I don't think it's a strong enough flavor.
Yes.
I think you only like it in doses.
Seasonally.
And my strongest argument for that was capitalism, that if companies could make year-round pumpkin money, they would. But they can't, so they know it wouldn't be as special if it was.
Yeah.
And it is kind of available all year. Like, you can get pumpkin flavored, the canned stuff, like, but no one's making you a pumpkin pie on 4th of July.
It's just wrong.
Yeah. I don't think I think she just likes pumpkin a lot. But what do you think? Do you think it's strong enough? Because everyone I think everyone agreed with me.
It's too ingrained into our mind that this is for the fall with all its spices. Who's making a fantastic poolside pumpkin refreshing cocktail? That sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible. Yeah. I don't think I've had a pumpkin cocktail of any kind.
I think you could pull something off.
I'm sure you could.
In the winter.
I like a pumpkin beer.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
But I wouldn't in March.
Yeah. That's what I mean, like a pumpkin, a frosty pumpkin beer by the pool.
You can tolerate pumpkin in December, but
I'll allow pumpkin in December,
not in January.
Pumpkin pie is in Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like pumpkin pie. It's not my preferred pie. I don't like the gelatin aspect of it. I'm a pecan man myself, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
And then I thought of it last night. I think pumpkin is like eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
It's like.
Couple weeks. And there are some flavors like a peppermint that you enjoy more during Christmas, but has snuck its way into things like ice cream. Mm-hmm. Like mint a mint julep. Mint is quite popular.
Yep.
I also think, maybe I'm wrong on this and maybe I should know more about this, pumpkin as a popularized flavor is newer idea. Like, mint is an ancient, like mint's been around.
It's medicinal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, And someone brought up like caramel. Caramel's been integrated into stuff for a long time. So it's had a more, now I'm sure if I got into Native American history, there were big pumpkin things, but not necessarily year round because it was harder to do anything year round.
They would eat seasonally anyway.
Yeah, of course, because they had to.
Yeah.
So, and then the other one, and this was talked about on the Nate Land one as well, and somebody asked us on the pew, is if you could have you heard this question, if you could have two liquids come out of two fingers, what would you choose? Now, again, and I want to, everyone get on the Facebook group, Dustin Nickerson comedy fans, and don't make me come back there, gmail.com. Send us these, yours. I would love to hear them. We all agree you should pick water. Everyone agrees that water is the pick.
Yeah.
It's the ethical thing to do, and you can give clean water to everyone. We all agree that water is what you should pick. It is not the spirit of this exercise. So.
Yeah, because then you're really just picking one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I went with a single origin Ethiopian pour over right here. Red wine right here. Coffee, wine. Preferably like a Malbec would be an Argentinian wine. So this is why I'm coffee. Now, putting an alcohol in one of your fingers is a bit of a liability, but you. But you are going to be invited to a lot of parties. You're essentially Jesus at that point.
Basically.
You bring in one of his miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And you went with, well, I'll give you some more time to ruminate on yours, Andy.
I kept changing mine, classic. But I think I did black coffee and seltzer water.
Yeah.
Just because I enjoy seltzer water.
Well, seltzer water is and it is water, so it is kind of it's going to be a hydrating situation.
Mm-hmm.
My argument against that was seltzer water is affordable, and it's not going to save you a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Wine's saving you money.
Yeah, and then we got into some practicals.
Okay, so we'll get into the great answers. There is one best answer.
before you
but
go,
before
Andy.
You say yours, Andy, and then mm-hmm. I'll tell you what the best answer is. Maybe you have it, but
oh, I doubt. I mean, I doubt I have it. I'm in the same.
There's fun answers and then practical answers. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm probably on the fun side.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, because water was obvious. I'm like, well, how are we going to get around that? So, I mean, I'm glad that that's been generally accepted.
As yeah.
Of course.
So. In this scenario, we all have a water finger too.
Yeah.
Which is great. Everyone has clean water.
Makes perfect sense. But yeah, I mean, I guess when I was thinking about that, I was like, yeah, coffee is probably there. And I was like, oh, I guess I would probably go with like a Kenyan, you know, single origin, because those are a little more seasonal. So they're not as like easy to get to. And
sure.
I particularly love those.
Isn't it beautiful to think about you before you went go to bed, you would just put your mug by your bed and you would wake up and you'd go, shh. Ooh.
It would be nice.
That is nice. It's interesting that it would have to come out of your body to be able to experience it back in
you. Oh, that is interesting. Yeah. Your body's like just recycling it. Yeah.
Here's a weird percolator. And then I think I was like, I mean, equally to you, problematic, but it's like, I mean, a really good aged rum coming out of this finger.
Yeah.
Probably my liquid of choice.
I know. It's dangerous, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're putting rum in everything. Yeah, now you're putting rum
in the coffee.
In the coffee.
I can do it with both these fingers.
The best answer you could have, and Brandon, our patron, came up with this, and I think they said on the night, is gas. Gas is far and away the best one. He said gas and motor oil. I was like, well, this one made you the wealthiest human on the planet.
Yeah.
Gas coming out of the, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. And then we also discussed, like, milk or baby formula, like, you know, there's some good.
And as I joked, I mean, at one point you were producing milk out of your body.
But just
you had that magic trick
perspective. Yeah, it was
baby formula. Averill, very helpful.
Averill said honey. Very funny.
If I were going to do a condiment, I would do a barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce is very versatile. I like barbecue sauce a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody said shampoo.
That's
because
right.
That would save you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Shampoo and liquid, borderline. Depends on the quality of shampoo.
And then I said yes because of travel.
Yeah. That's right.
It's good.
A cleaner. Good. Someone said hand sanitizer. That's a good one. A little spray bottle, Windex.
I was like, oh, I want the cold foam.
The cold foam pumpkin brew. Yeah. So, it's a fun question.
Dangerous.
Anyways, let's do some emails here. This is from Dale. Dale emailed us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. The subject is country/state fair episode. Hey, Dustin and Melissa, I'm a newish listener to your podcast and living in Snohomish, Washington. Enjoy hearing all the Washington State references, I know, e.g. the Puyallup Fair. Also, having teenagers at home, I appreciate your practical struggles of raising kids and your lighthearted approach to some of the ridiculousness that is current-day parenting. Side note, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and when you noted your gig in Pottstown, PA, you mentioned nearby Lancaster, and you pronounced it correctly, different from, say, Lancaster, California. Being from the West Coast, not sure how you knew that. Anyways, thanks for the laughs, and keep it up. Dale and Maltby, Snohomish, Washington. I know that because I am a traveling comedian and I've been to Lancaster and I've been to America's worst city, Lancaster, California.
They also kind of do the Lancaster.
Lancaster.
Oh, okay.
Lancaster and Lancaster.
Yeah, but okay. It doesn't matter. But California does like to add a little something to it.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, my sisters say that.
Yeah?
Yeah, they lived there longer than I did.
Yeah?
I think it's a California draw on the A, Lancaster.
Oh. You know? How do you say it?
My sisters would say Lancaster.
Oh.
Lancaster.
I pronounce it hell. Hooked ya. I hooked ya. Hooked
ya. You knew it was coming.
No, it's America's worst city, Lancaster, California. There had to be a worst. There had to be a worst. And it's because the first time I went there, I walked outside and I thought I was going to Southern California. It was 118.
Yeah.
All right. This next one here. This is from Mike. This is an email. You want to read this one, Mel?
Okay. Yes. Hey, yo. This is Mike from Northern Indiana. just started listening to the pod this summer, and it's awesome.
Thanks, Mike.
I started thinking to myself, this guy needs to come to the Midwest. Then I heard last week you mentioned Fort Wayne in April 2026. So awesome to hear. We will plan to be there. And by the way, Gen Xers are most certainly the forgotten generation, but also the coolest. Keep up the great work, Mike.
I was going to do my Korean War reference there again, that Gen X is the Korean War of generations. But then he said it's the coolest generation. And I don't label which wars were the coolest. There was a very funny TikTok that said, I was talking about, we don't do wars like they used to because the Vietnam War had the soundtrack. And it was like all the CCR songs and stuff. You know, I mean, the music that came out of it was unbelievable. Yeah. So, but, you know. Anyways, that's not really the spirit of what we talk about here on a podcast. Yeah. Let's read this. This is a YouTube comment from Kimmy C, 1855. Sounds like a password. This is me and my husband. This is talking about the weeds in the clouds. I'm the practical one and he's the dreamer. I appreciate his vision, but sometimes it stresses me out. A lot of times it stresses me out. He comes up with the idea and I'm thinking, how are we going to be able to pay for that? Or I'm thinking, when do we have the time for that? I can so relate to Mel. That's the one you specifically, you're just like, when, Dustin? When?
I know.
When are we going to go to Japan?
Exactly.
I like this. The Japan bits becoming an ongoing bit on our podcast because it is so out there of an idea that you're like, yeah, we should go to Japan. Come on. It'll be fun.
And I'm like sweating which volleyball league I can pull off for Claire this spring.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they have volleyball in Japan? Two birds.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to spend the whole time indoors in a gym.
A Pokemon gym.
Playing volleyball.
Here we go. Scroll down a little there. Okay. This one's on YouTube as well.
Okay. I'll read this one.
Great. It's written to you.
Williams4663 says, Melissa, I completely identify with your position on daydreaming. Every time my husband tries to lure me into it, I feel a panicky white wall fly up in my mind. I tuck my head in like a turtle in its shell, hunkering down until the discomfort is over. It stresses me out trying to spend time considering an imaginary scenario that has no bearing on anything that is actually happening right now. I'm sure that doesn't make me much fun to be around, so then I stress out about not being fun. From your sister in the weeds, I get it. I can't. Can't do it.
I've seen you do that whole last cycle.
Yeah.
Where you stress out and then you're like, this isn't fun, and then you get stressed out that you're not being fun.
Yes.
Because you wanna be fun.
This is like when we get home today and there's a bunch of mail.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, there's a bunch of mail. But in the past you would like start tearing into it all, and I'm like, don't do that right now. I want to eat. Like,
yeah.
That's just tasks that I have to do.
Yeah. And being 21 years into a marriage and a relationship and living with someone is you learn those things. Like I learn, I don't open any of the boxes. Anything that comes, I just put on the table. The mail, the boxes, I'll thumb through the mail just in case it's a check or something that I'm expecting something or something that it's like, I don't know, mail used to be more exciting, but... I'll put all that there. Or one thing that I've noticed. So Mel has we should bring one time. What I call them the dailies now. Mel has at night she takes a just.
I just have a spiral notebook.
Spiral notebook. Yeah, and on one side it's the schedule.
Yeah.
And then the other side it's kind of the tasks. The things that need to get done. Mm-hmm. And so I won't ask you what time we have to do something. I just consult with the daily.
If we're at the house, it's
because
right there.
I realize you took the time. It's also on a Google calendar probably. It's probably on four calendars at that point. It's at least on three. It's gone on the Google calendar, which is its first home. And then the second home is the handwritten calendar, right? Or reverse order. The hanging calendar.
Well, those are kind of... The kitchen calendar is kind of just for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Mel.
But that's because I like work from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. A new event pops into our life. Mm-hmm. So say a volleyball potluck.
Yeah.
The volleyball potluck, mm-hmm. you find out about this via email or text.
Mm-hmm.
How does that get scheduled and all, where all does it go?
This only works for me and our family, but I will put it on our shared Google Calendar.
Mm-hmm. First.
First.
Digital first.
And then it will go on my kitchen calendar,
mm-hmm.
which is mainly for like meal planning and stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's menu planning. And then I have a little calendar for the girls that I don't think they've referenced once, but it just has the kids' schedule.
Yeah.
Like doctor's appointments, yeah. practices.
And then day of, it makes it
and
on the daily.
The daily, the day of. I look at the paper calendar and the digital and I write it out
yeah.
the night before. Yeah. The only person who has ever looked at the daily is you and our son.
Yeah.
Our daughters have not looked at that sheet one time in their lives.
Well, I don't think Joel looked yeah. at it until he was a little older, though, so the girls
yeah,
might.
That's true. Yeah, know. He started looking at it, like, his senior year.
It's helpful. The daily is helpful.
Yeah, and I do think some parents, like, it stresses them out to get asked all day.
Right.
Like, what's going on? With you know, and you are, like, it's literally right
Well,
there.
That when it's already written down yeah. and it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think just like,
and it's not every task, by the way. Like,
yeah.
Like today, you mm-hmm. had a terrible night of sleep, so you were up from like 1 to 5, one yeah. to four, something like that.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
Like 4 hours. Yeah.
So, your alarm went off, and I took your phone. I was like, I'll do the things, and all the yeah. morning things that you usually do.
Mm-hmm. Those aren't on the
those list. Aren't on the daily.
Yeah.
The move the dishwasher, which is a very specific thing for our house because it's one of the ones that
it's all the pet
it.
Stuff. And it's the, get the girls out the door.
Yeah, it's yeah. everybody get their stuff, eat, yeah. blah blah blah, move all that. That's not mm-hmm. on there. It's just outstanding yeah. ones like today. Buy this or go. What's on the daily for today? See, I broke the rule. I asked about it.
Our daughter has a volleyball game.
A volleyball game. That's
a non-home game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, you get a sister in the weeds. okay, this one right here is from Jason Harris, also on YouTube. As a middle child, I can't help but see a connection to today's chaotic economic and political climate. Middle children are natural peacemakers, steady, level-headed, and great at keeping the balance. But since middle children are becoming an endangered species, it's no wonder things feel a bit more unstable. And yes, that's my entirely unbiased assessment. Jason says the world is getting less stable because we don't have middle children. Strong thesis. I like it.
Okay, Jason.
Good take.
You like this?
Mm-hmm. This is from the Facebook group, and this is from Belinda. You want to read this one, Mel?
Yes. When it was mentioned about how TV shows helped expose us to new popular music, I couldn't help but think about how Daria was the utmost coolest for playing Sneaker Pimps and other bands during their show. I know that they have removed all the cool music from its streaming version on Paramount Plus, but I feel that the music was spot on for me in that time period. Any other shows made you guys feel like that?
This is a great question. What shows just had great soundtracks that like there's the obvious ones like Glee, but that was a musical show.
Yeah. Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks is
amazing.
Very high on the list.
Intro song.
Yeah. And music throughout.
Yeah, that's just the one I specifically remember. And then I was thinking Dawson's Creek, like that song was just.
Yeah. But what about inner music throughout? So Daria, would have like some shows just have featured music throughout the show as well.
Sure.
An easy one is, I mean, obviously, like Xenial is like Beavis and Butthead.
And Butthead was my number one.
Yeah, for sure.
And Daria is a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead.
Right. Oh, really?
Daria was a character in Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Which, so the spirit of that show was them watching music videos and commenting on them and making fun of them and da-da. But they would go to school and they had teachers and it's Mike Judge, it's the same guy who did Office Space and Idiocracy and
King of the Hill.
It's all the same creator. Wow. He's the genius.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's mm-hmm. it's all great. And they would watch these music and Daria was a character that had an interesting role in the show.
Mm-hmm.
That she wasn't like a clear protagonist or antagonist. It was just kind of interesting. And they would call her diarrhea, cha cha cha. But
that's what that's from.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you just as a reference. I mean, yeah, like Tori Amos, Foo Fighters, The Verve, Korn. You know, these are all bands that were featured on
Dahlia that's amazing.
At one point in time.
Yeah,
it was like it was very cool. It was like a, it was like MTV's influence through that was coming through. You know,
mm-hmm.
Alice in Chains, Misfits, I think were part of that. Pete and Pete was another show that actually had some cool bands like randomly featured every now and then.
Yeah,
like, kind of cool. Like songs would get slipped in between cuts and stuff.
Yeah,
and it was like there was always like a little few small.
And there's obviously the sketch ones too, like SNL and In Living Color that would feature bands and stuff. So.
Yeah. I'm just
good
the wrong
question,
person
though.
To ask, but
yeah. I mean, great theme songs are a whole other conversation because they, I mean, there's just been some absolute bangers. But
right.
I like that. Go ahead.
I was also thinking, I just forgot the name of it. It's the kids show with DJ
Yo Gabba Gabba.
DJ Vance.
Yeah. You probably missed Yo Gabba Gabba because your kids weren't old.
Well, no, I didn't because my buddy Ian was part of the show.
Oh, there you go.
In the music, Ian Falstrom, who's now in Aquabats. But like,
oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Because the whole Paul Frank world was all tied together in that way.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Good question. Thanks, Belinda.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a little weekend recap, shall we? So I was in, I was overseas. No, I was international. I was in Vancouver, British Columbia this weekend. I've got a list of cities that I'm like, these are the best cities I've ever been to. I love them so much. And Vancouver's on the list. It's Chicago. It's San Francisco. It's Amsterdam. And it's Vancouver.
You're cultural.
That's my list.
Mm-hmm. You're cultured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until we go to Japan. And then it's a whole new list. A whole new list. I love it so much. I love it so much. It was a little bit of a bummer that I can't. It's a very walkable city, and I'm not super walkable right now. I can't do a lot of places. So,
you were in the downtown.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was in the downtown. It was fine.
It's September. It's pretty gorgeous.
It was perfect.
Pretty
gorgeous. It was crispy.
Mm-hmm.
Put a little sweatshirt. I love sweatshirt weather. It's my favorite.
Nice.
It's my favorite type of weather,
mm-hmm.
where you could get away with long sleeves and or like being short. You could do shorts and a hoodie, or you could do both, like long pants and. But you couldn't do shorts and short sleeves. Too cold for that.
One's got to be long.
One's got to be long. That's perfect weather for me. I wanted to give a shout. We went a different direction as far as. Local shout outs. I know we do a lot of coffee shops. There was a very cool bar that we went to called Hail Mary's, which someone recommended because it's kind of based on the theme of Taylor's tour, where like the bar tables are like confessionals and they're like the seats are pews.
The atmosphere
looked cool, and the bathrooms, one's heaven, one's hell. The heaven one was the one that was handicap accessible, which I know. Which, you know, was a nice nod.
Nice.
So it was very cool. And Vancouver crowds, you are as good a crowds as I've ever had anywhere. And we're about to add a second show because I'm coming back there May 3rd at the Biltmore Cabaret. And you guys almost sold out the first one. So we're adding it at the matinee. Mm-hmm. So it was great. It was very fun to be up there. The shows were fun. It's great to be out with Tay. I also, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about this, and the tone can change because this comes out on Thursday, and the Mariners will have played two other games by then, and the Seahawks play tonight on Thursday Night Football. And if you're listening to this over the weekend, my University of Washington Huskies might have gotten shellacked by Ohio State by 70 points. But some are saying it was the greatest weekend in Seattle sports history, because you, no matter where you're at on the Apple Cup, you know, because that's an in-state rivalry. So that aside, the Seahawks absolutely dominated the Saints, which was great. We looked very good. And then the Mariners had a huge series against the Astros. They went into the series three games in Houston, tied for the division lead, and you're like, if we can just win two or three, that'll be huge. And then they swept them, so it was unbelievable. And great dramatic fashion. There was one game that ended with a walk-off diving catch double play. Very exciting baseball. This guy Victor Robles who got hurt. He's just one of the, you know, we have a couple volleyball players who just throw themselves into the stands.
Yes.
He's one of those type. Mm-hmm. And he got hurt earlier in the year throwing himself into the stands. And then he's been out for a while. And then he had like a minor league rehab stint where he got hit a bunch by the same player and a bunch of, and he lost his cool and got suspended because he threw a bat at a pitcher, which you cannot do. Uh-oh. That. Very mm-hmm. dangerous. And then he had this diving play to win the game and ultimately win the series for us. And I was like, it's crazy that this guy threw a bat at somebody like a month ago, and that won't be what he's remembered for this season. It was that good of a play.
Wow.
That you could mm-hmm. clean up the old, I threw a bat at somebody.
Amazing.
Talk about redemption.
No kidding. So it's great. You bought a new blender. That's what you were doing over the weekend.
Yeah, I bought a new drawer. Blender.
I was going over the digital calendar, and I was like, this one is because you didn't have a tournament. And so usually I like to be like, what did Melissa do over the weekend? And
I've
then
been putting that task off.
Yeah, you got a new blender.
I will say that our daughter with these homecoming dresses literally suspended my debit card and flagged my credit card.
Yeah.
Like, bad.
Off these
so
weird websites.
Watch out for these weird websites that your kids find homecoming dresses on. I'm still dealing with that, like, 2 weeks later.
Whatever happened to David's Bridal? Are they only... they have homecoming dresses, right?
We just, you know, nobody wants a brick-and-mortar dress anymore.
You're right.
We're what? Like, dress number four. It's stressful and it's messy.
Stressful.
Don't stress the dress.
Like, my debit card still doesn't work. So,
why are there not stores anymore? Do they just, they went away?
Because it's.
To me, dress shopping.
It's the internet, baby.
I know, but the dress shopping is so, it's like a, you wouldn't
like
buy it.
Shopping.
Yeah.
She
such
wants
a particular
something.
Fit.
She wants, I'm not even going to open that.
Oh, I want her to wear a poncho.
She wants something
in snow
unique.
Pants.
She wants something unique.
And that's the problem
with to be unique at homecoming.
Yeah, it's true.
Turtlenecks.
And that's the problem with the
Coachella. Yeah.
That's the problem with David's Bridal or these brick and mortar ones.
Yeah.
Did David's Bridals have more than just bride's dresses?
They do.
But no, you can't convince your 16-year-old to go
there. There's stores called like Preview and
yeah.
I can't even remember. I don't know. We don't go to
because she doesn't want to have one that somebody else has.
Department stores used to. I mean, they still do. Like Macy's and stuff used to. We used to go, and my mom would talk to everyone while I tried on the dresses.
Right.
That she purchased for me.
Thanks, Charlene.
Yep. But anyway, it's. You know,
I mean, she did. We did this for shoe shopping last year. Yeah. She was just like, "I want these shoes from this website." I'm like, "It ends in .zzz. That can't be good." You know,
it's terrible. The other thing that she did is she resurrected our digital camera.
Oh, so
from 2009.
That's fun.
You know how Gen Z pawns themselves off as like this crazy unique generation, and they are. I'll give them that. They're just grabbing our stuff. Digital cameras are popular right now. They're all wearing JNCOs and taking digital photos.
Yep. The digital camera is back. I don't know how this
be careful.
Sony...
MTV is going to start playing music again. You watch out. You watch out.
This Canon digital camera has held its value.
Yeah.
It's still worth like almost $300.
Well, that's how we're going to pay for that homecoming dress then.
These cameras are workhorses.
Yeah.
I mean, like they survived through what we did to them and then they're still going.
So all we had to do is buy a new battery, like a charger. Mm-hmm. And now, does she know how to transfer this to her phone or a laptop? No.
Well, but
she's
what's
just
crazy about that though is like you just need an adapter. And you pull it right out of the camera or plug it straight
she
in.
She hasn't
like,
gotten
to your
far.
Phone, to your laptop.
Straight, no, to your phone.
Yeah.
Straight
so she phone. Has she hasn't gone that far. She's just having fun having a digital camera.
Yeah.
That was literally how we took her baby photos.
Uh-huh.
And videos. So
wait a minute.
What?
We might want to check what's all on that.
The camera card. Oh my god.
Hold on.
Rewind the tape.
Literally.
Let us review the footage before she throws it into her any computer.
She can't figure that out. She hasn't figured that out.
But this is the power of Gen Z is that they might be able to resurrect some of the things that we liked most. So I loved a digital camera. They're fun. So bring the digital camera back. They're bringing back baggy jeans, which I've always preferred. Mm-hmm. They've really brought back vintage shopping and
music
and thrift shopping. And they listen to
Radiohead.
They listen to Radiohead and the Deftones. It's crazy.
Just wait. They're going to be like, listen, you could buy one service and get to watch all these different channels.
Oh my gosh. They're going to please Gen Z. Gen Z, bring back cable. For the love of God, Gen Z, bring back cable. I don't know my Hulu sign-in. I don't know how it's different from my Disney Plus sign-in. And I don't know how that's different from my ESPN sign-in. Long before people were canceling over this Kimmel situation, I was like, I'm just frustrated that I can't get my login.
Just locked out.
I got canceled because I couldn't remember my login. How do I have...
Yeah.
How's Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN all have different logins for me for some reason? Bring back cable, Gen Z. Mm-hmm. Is what we're saying. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still in college dorm rooms.
Yeah,
we still have cable.
That's true.
It's just saying.
So you bought a blender and trying to get a homecoming. You did a driving lesson. She did her first Target pickup.
She's at about 10 hours.
Yeah.
So we're looking like actual driving now.
Yeah.
It's been very slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drove. She asked if she could drive to school today, and I said no. And then I was like, can I leave you on this street? And she goes, what street? I don't know the name of the street. I thought that was the street we lived on. I was like, I don't think you're ready to drive yet if you don't know the street that you live on.
Right.
That's in your home address.
You need to get that down.
Yeah.
She'll have... At 20 hours, she'll have her second driving lesson, and they'll hit the freeway.
Yeah.
So we got 10 hours. Yep. And it's coming. It's coming along. I also had an exterminator over this weekend. My weekend really sucked.
Little cockroach sighting.
Woo!
So my very first roach.
You've seen them before. Really?
On a sidewalk.
Oh, yeah.
Late at night. Yeah.
They are startling.
I've never seen them in the house. And then he told me they fly.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I was like, well... Now I'm never going to sleep again.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. I do think, like, seeing a cockroach on a Friday afternoon will ruin your weekend.
Yeah.
And I just thought the
if you're not used to them, I'm sure our, like, city dweller listeners are like, give me a break. You know, like our New Yorkers or whatever, they're like, it's a lot more common in other places.
Sure, but in your house.
Yeah. No, I think people who live in like apartments in cities are very used to cockroaches.
Yeah, you ever see Joe's apartment?
Yeah. But it is not, we've never had a cockroach in any house we've ever lived in.
Yeah.
Or apartment. Yeah.
And then our cat literally left a mouse on our back porch.
Yeah, well, that was thoughtful.
That was a gift. That was a gift.
The cat was trying to make you feel better after the cockroach. Hey, I know you've had a rough weekend. Mm-hmm. Here's your number one fear, which would be like, scary.
It's just the timing.
It'd be like the cat bringing an orca to the door for me. This is my number one fear. How'd you get that orca?
it's rough when that stuff happens on the weekends when your spouse is traveling.
Yeah.
Like, can somebody get rid of this mouse?
Yeah.
And I don't have my son. He would get rid of the mouse.
Yeah.
I just don't want to touch a mouse with a plastic bag.
No, you put a bowl over it and left it for me, and I happily threw it away when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, enjoy that, flies. We've had, you know, it's flies in the trash can season. And I was like, wow, you guys are getting a dead mouse in there. What a dream. If they can get through these two bags that I wrapped it up in.
I know. So it's just some gross stuff.
And I came home.
Really gross.
I came home and I was like, that's a really good beef stew last night. And you're like, I'm going to kill you.
I'm sweltering with the cockroaches.
I did. I had a really good beef stew. I hadn't had a beef stew in years.
It's that season.
Yeah, tis the
soup season.
Not here yet.
Not here.
No, not here.
Yeah. But in Vancouver, stew season.
I do think fall it does hit differently on the West Coast.
Yeah.
In the Northwest, it means like you better enjoy it now because it's going to be pure darkness in November.
Yeah.
And pouring rain. And then in SoCal, it's like, oh, we have nice days, and then we just have like hot.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of different, speaking of dresses.
Speaking of roaches. It's a joke. No.
Mel's little hot take on Hollywood. Our friend Nate Bargatze hosted the Emmys, which is crazy to say.
So crazy.
It's crazy to say that. Like,
you're like, that guy knows me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. So Nate, like, I've known, yeah, obviously we're on the Nate Land Network, and it's not, so it's not even like a name drop. Like, but like, so I met Nate, gosh, 2017. I've known him for a while. It's almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And Johnny W., who also opens for Nate, and I think he's been on the Nate Land podcast.
Yeah. I think he's done YouTube stuff with
him. Did a gig at his church one night, and that's where I met Nate, at Johnny's church.
Okay.
That's where I met him, and Nate. And Johnny was like, hey, you and Nate, I want to connect you guys.
Really?
Yeah. Because you guys are kind of both heavy in the club scene.
Yeah.
You know, but you work clean and, you know, you're Christians. And like, I think, and I was like, I know who Nate is. Like, Nate's a really established, great comic, but he wasn't big at the time. But it was a big deal that he was on that lineup.
Sure.
And it was, for those who know Nate's material, I remember that night he did the snake bit. You know this bit about, I'm going to butcher the bit, but the basic idea is that you have to ID what snake got you and you have to try and bring the snake in. And he's like, who told you that? The snake? You're like, that's the punch. It's a great bit. You know, the idea that you get bit and you're like, someone get the snake.
You're like, so where's the snake?
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, I have a bite.
Yeah, exactly. So I meet Nate there and we stay in touch and I do like a couple club dates with Nate. He's starting to get like, over the next year or two, like starting to pop, especially in like Nashville. And he has like a monthly like show. He's doing it like a Nate and Friends type thing that I'm on. And then I start doing a couple club weekends with Nate.
On the West Coast.
On the West Coast specifically. Mm-hmm. I do a guest spot with him in SF. I do his Irvine shows. My first full weekend was with him in Spokane. And his half an hour came out in the special. So, but Nate was like an established club act.
Yeah.
He's probably, when I met him, probably, and this isn't like meant to sound braggadocious, but like probably not even where I'm at in my career right now when I first met him. And then his Netflix thing came out and then da 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 da. So I was with him in clubs and then small theaters and then big theaters and then arenas. Yeah.
When he had two Balboas, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but
locally.
And you just go like, it's crazy to watch someone go from not anonymous, and even more so with the comic friends who have known him for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Who like were with him in the New York days. Who are like, you hosted the Emmys.
Yes.
That's insane. Like, obviously the SNL stuff is great, but comics do that, and it's just another notch in his belt.
Yes.
Just an insane thing to get to do. And then I saw the Boys and Girls Club thing was great, and then he gave the donation, gave more than CBS. And then I saw, I think it was Julian shared, I saw like, and donations for Boys and Girls Club have like gone way up since it. So it was a bunch of good PR for them.
So awesome.
Just crazy to turn on. So we go up that night and I'm watching some of the clips, and then we go and grab some food.
Yeah.
We found I got to look it up, the name of it, but this just one of your like kind of cool open concept, like
food hall,
bar, kinda. Food hall situation, play a little skee ball, have a taco, have a beer. There's an Emmy watching party happening.
Perfect.
And you're like, this is amazing. And you're like, that's Nate. That's crazy. Like, I know that. He knows us.
Yeah.
We've been to his house. That's crazy. And then we're going up there with the intention. So originally we had 2 days off and we're going to go to Colorado to go see Red Clay Strays. It's all for our anniversary at Red Rocks.
And
we're going to hike in Boulder.
Yeah.
And then I broke my ankle and we're like, hey, hike's off. And almost simultaneously, so fast, we get an email from Nate's people, like the reps, UTA Brillstein, that says like, hey, Nate Bargatze's after Emmy party. And I'm like, do you want to go to this? And you're like, yes.
Yeah, because I saw the hotel and I was like, oh.
Yeah. Which we've driven by Chateau Marmont, I think is what it's called.
It's
yeah.
I was like,
it's
no,
on
this is
here.
Like,
it's on the bag.
Chateau Marmont.
Yeah.
Iconic.
It's right off Sunset. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And yes.
We did not stay there.
So I was like, oh, that. Yes, but I also assumed, one, nobody was going to come because it's 10 p.m. And then two, I was like, no one will be dressed still. That would be so dumb for everyone to still be in their Emmy outfits.
Right. They'll probably change. Right.
And then like 2 days before we saw it said black tie / cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly suddenly our outfits were not going to work. I was going to wear like a plaid skirt.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
I mean, listen, some people were underdressed. Joe Coy was there making fun of his own outfit. He's like, I'm in like a gas station jumpsuit right now.
He looked cool. Sure.
I mean, if you've previously hosted the awards, you can wear whatever you want.
I just thought, in our head, we were like, why would we dress up like we were at the Emmys when we weren't?
Well, which is why I didn't specifically wear a tux. Because that's what you wear if you were at the Emmys.
Yeah, we were not at the award show.
No, I felt like if I could find a jacket, that was like the key.
Mm-hmm. So, and then I didn't.
But you have nice clothes.
I had a dress, but it's cotton, but it's dark.
Yeah.
And I thought that was enough because it wasn't like silk or glitter, or, you know, like. A lot of the women, you know, have like evening gowns.
They have gowns who just came from the Emmys.
Full length evening gowns. And
some of them holding said Emmy they won.
Yeah, there was a lot of people holding Emmys.
Yeah.
So I felt like it worked.
100%,
in a pinch. And it was dark.
Yeah.
You know, so you can kind of, again, nobody cares what we're wearing. Like, we just have to blend it.
No, that's exactly it. You just have to dress. I'd say I had the old joke, I'm just trying to get in a shape that nobody comments on. That's where you're trying to get. You're like, nobody says we're not going to win best dressed, but you don't want to stand out as underdressed.
You're wearing neon or something.
Yeah,
neon,
I don't.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Jeans and an open flannel with a graphic tee.
Jeans on jeans.
Jeans. No. Hat.
There's certain lines. Yeah.
Hat guy.
There was a photographer. They did not take a photo of us.
No.
You know, so like we weren't a glamour couple.
You want to,
we were there.
Well, that's
on the list.
That's a very funny moment. And it's happened to me two or three times in my life where you're at some famous thing. I think the Dodgers night, same thing happened.
Yes.
There's paparazzi there and they're ready. And then they see you and then they put their camera down.
And you said that to one of them. You're like, sorry, we're famous.
Yeah. And
sorry
they just
to disappoint you.
And they kind of rolled their eyes because I'm like, oh, you've heard that line 1,000 times.
Yeah. They're like, I didn't look at them. I was like, oh, I should probably not look at the paparazzi.
No, yeah.
They didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, who's going to make it at this one? And they were there on the way in and as you came out too, though. But I think funnier is my outfit as I pieced it together.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't own slacks. I own one pair of slacks.
No, every like wedding you are in, you get a new suit.
I get a new suit. Or, you know, and even on my late night on The Tonight Show, I'm wearing jeans in that.
Yeah, you have a jacket, but you have jeans.
So my outfit is I have one pair of slacks that I sometimes wear to church. Those are Volcom, by the way. So they're still a surfer skater SoCal brand, but it's night and no one can see that. And really what is noticeable on my lower half is a walking boot. So I put on a walking boot. I realized at some point in a moment of haste, I got rid of the black pair of shoes that I had.
Dress shoes.
I had a pair of black dress shoes. Now, my son went to prom a couple months ago, so I fit into his loafer.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a left loafer and a right walking boot.
Yes.
You know, who are you wearing? Rite Aid. and then my Volcom. And then I also realized in this moment, I don't have a white collared shirt. Because you just don't know that you don't have these
white
things.
White collared shirts do not last long.
Yeah.
They Yeah, they
and
get old.
Good news for me is I've shed a couple LBs. I fit into my sons. And I had an old Nordstrom Rack kind of maroon velvety jacket that worked well enough as for outside where you couldn't examine it that closely. And honestly, looked pretty similar to what Seth Rogen was wearing.
Yes.
And that jacket got a lot of compliments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, this is really cool. Da, da, da. And you're like, this was $30.
So the funny thing is that velvet sport coats, I guess suit coats, Joel has two as well.
Yeah, they're kind of the thing.
They're just kind of our thing. He wore
ours and Seth Rogen's thing.
There you go. He wore a navy blue one to win a formal, and then he got like a black one with like satin here.
Yeah.
But it's velvet. For prom, and it's very popular. Everyone comments on it because the texture looks a little different.
It's a little different. It stands out.
So that's a little tip. Get a velvet.
When you're going to your after Emmy party.
Or prom.
So when Nate invites you to his Emmy party the year he's hosting again.
Velvet jacket.
You had to go because we're just... I mean, stand-up comics are nobodies in show business. They don't even like us in show business. We are not well thought of.
How many times are you going to get invited to that hotel for an after party that I thought no one would be at? It was completely packed. Like, all the people that won awards were there.
So what was fun... Yeah. Well, yeah. So what was fun about it was... You know, not that we had our pick of after. We'll never get invited to anything like this again. It just so happens that our friend and the person who we host the podcast with and I open for just happened to be hosting the Emmys because he's a global star.
Yeah.
And
we had a babysitter.
And we had a babysitter who was in town. Yeah. And your mom was super chill about it. It was nice. She was like, oh my gosh, an Emmy party. And it was, we took one picture that I had to heavily kind of edit because the bartender who took a picture did not do a great job. But it was just fun moment to capture because you don't get to do it. We leave our hotel, and as we're leaving the hotel, we're like, oh, that's Ted Danson. Like, it was very fun stuff like that. But what was great about this, and we knew this would be the case, it was Nate. So we would know people there.
Yeah.
And as we walk in, because that's always the first thing, is there going to be anybody I know, is we see Lachlan Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, girlfriend?
I forget, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I hadn't met her before. So immediately we see a comedian friend, and then a bunch of other comics are there. Nick Nowicki's there.
And his wife, Teal, was there.
Yeah. Just Wilman's there, the magician, and we're doing all the things that comics do, which is like, hey, when are you out? When do you leave? Tomorrow, I got a corporate here. Da, 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 da. So it was nice. We knew that the funny people, Altsko was there. We talked to Altsko. You had not met Altsko.
I hadn't met her. She's great. Or her husband.
Delightful.
Yeah. Love her.
Full of life. And we talked to, I think the longest talk we had was with her. And this is what comics do. They find each other. Even if we don't know each other super well. Because we talked to Altsko and her husband, Ryan, and then Ronnie Chang was there, and we, even though I barely know any of them.
Yeah.
Like, I know Altsko fairly well. Ronnie, I've talked to for 5 seconds before. We talked to for 20 minutes, poolside.
Yeah.
While these people, there was some real, I don't want to say trashy, there were some people getting...
There were some Chase lounge chairs that
Laying down, cigarette. Not exactly Nate Land vibes, a little more Hollywood vibes.
Some good people watching.
Some good people watching.
Yeah.
And same thing with Joe. So I talked to Joe for like 10 minutes. I've never even talked to Joe. But comics, if you ever want to know what comics are like at events like this, there's a great, just go to YouTube and watch Seinfeld talking about awards. And he talks about how comedians don't need awards. We don't like awards. What comics want to do is be in the back of the room making fun of the award. And that's kind of true. But we found each other and it was great.
Yeah.
But it is so funny to have a conversation. I'm sitting here talking to Nick Nowicki and being like, oh, wow, that's Jude Law.
Yes.
And you're like, oh wow, there's Seth Rogen and Stephen Colbert with their Emmys in their hands. That's cool.
Uh-huh.
Love that. Here's all the people in all the shows that I watched. That's very fun.
Ray Romano.
Romano was there because, and Brad, you know, and again, they find each other because there. I looked over and there was a circle that was
Marin
and Brad Garrett and Romano. And you're like, the comics find each other. They just, they find one another, you know.
Me and Morgan and Chuck. I never met Chuck.
Yeah, I never met Chuck. Mm-hmm. Chuck was there.
Yep.
It's so funny because these are all just stand-ups.
And Laura. Yeah. Laura Bargatze.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we talked to Laura for a while.
Nate obviously had a lot of people around him.
But was gracious. We caught him on the way out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To us.
He just hosted the Emmys. It's crazy.
It was amazing.
Yep. Go to an Emmy party if you guys get invited. If you guys get invited, do it. Because I was on the fence.
Yeah, I think do you talk to all the famous people? No.
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 What do I got to talk to Jude Law about?
Yeah, and you kind of just let them be there, and you're like, oh my gosh, they're behind me.
Yeah.
You know? But that's enough, you know? I don't know. People have said, like, well, did you talk to them? And you're like, no.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of fun to be
there. Hey, Ted Danson.
It's just kind of fun to see him.
And he's like,
there.
Well, it's one of those things and where you don't, you're not going to take a picture because you don't want to be a tourist. You know, I mean, you're like, well, if I'm not going to be a tourist and tell you I'm a big fan, then what do I have to say to you anyways? You know, I've loved you since Cheers. Used to watch it with my dad. People forget how good that cast was. A young Woody Harrelson as well.
But the menu was super fun.
The menu was hilarious.
Yeah. So
I will not be convinced that Nate didn't have a hand in it.
You walk up this little dark courtyard with all these plants and
very nice
patio lights, and there's waiters with champagne and margaritas on trays. Like, what do you want? And then there's waiters coming around with, like, apps.
There's some fancy ones. There's a couple little things.
Yeah, there was, like, a seaweed tuna kind of thing.
And what else was there?
There was breaded chicken nuggets with hot honey.
And?
And strips,
This had a taste of Nate to it.
Chicken tenders,
chicken
nuggets.
There were both chicken nuggets and chicken tenders. Nuggets and strips.
Yep.
Both available.
With a hot honey,
which is just chicken nugget. It's a chicken nugget. My favorite thing is they were serving pizza out of the box.
Yes. Oh, that's
little boxes.
I loved it.
And that feels very LA and very, like, comic.
Yeah.
It was very much Nate's hand on that. It was a nice brand. This was not Domino's or something.
No, it was good. Yeah, it was very,
They had, I don't know how to say it, Levain cookies?
Leviathan.
Is it? Okay. I think there's a V in it.
Isn't it Leviathan?
It's a New York cookie company. They're really, really dense.
Oh, you're right.
Levain.
Oh, gosh, that's so funny that I just made it biblical.
Yeah. Well, they are Leviathan cookies.
That's why I thought they went that it was like the, you know, the Leviathan, the big creature in the Bible of the deep. And I just thought that was the cookie. I thought it was a Christian company.
That was a cute little party favor. And then there was something else I was going to mention, but maybe we already did. Yeah, apps and cookies. Actually, I'm kind of surprised they didn't have ice cream, because Nate talks about ice cream a lot.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to serve.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cookies are much easier.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
We left at 1:30 in the morning. The party went till 2.
Did we?
Yeah. Everyone was still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was pretty awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, just a huge congratulations to Nate, to Lara, to the family, to Nateland, of which we're honored to be a part of.
Yeah.
It's just a cool win all around for good people. You know, getting to host something like that is, you know, when you, again, like it's like a little Dustin's Comedy Corner here, like when it doesn't, people know the Kevin Harts and stuff of the world because they pop into mainstream, but they don't realize how many comics there are that don't.
Yeah.
There's way more comics that just, you know, and I don't even say meander, have successful careers. And if you have a job that you love, like you made it, that's great. Fantastic. If you can enjoy your work, it's the best gift of all. It's so rare that a comedian then goes so mainstream and so pop culture and so well known, and then for it to be a good human that you know and you love and that you have a connection to is just crazy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that I'm friends with Nate and Taylor. It's an insane thing to me.
Right.
Because I'm always like, well, Taylor will soon. Yeah. You know?
She'll host.
But it was, yeah, it was really fun.
Well, he did such a great job, and it's a really hard job.
Yeah.
And it was a really difficult, like, week, but he did a great job.
I did arena shows, and I mean, it's crazy. He worked so hard. He did a great job. Huge congrats. Mm-hmm. And huge congrats to us for making it to the party. We worked hard. One of my favorite things about you, though, and I have a lot of things that I really enjoy about you. We went to an After Emmy party. It was great. We had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, we went to Red Rocks, see Red Clay Strays. The Kreischers were there, Bert and Leanne. We didn't know. We walked in. I was like, oh my gosh, the Kreischers. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. They took good care of me with the ankle stuff because, you know,
that venue is tough.
Yeah. There's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
I still think your maximum level of joy that whole time was one beer and skee ball and a taco, though.
Yeah.
I love it so much. But as I've always said, and I think this is the best description of us, is we have one foot in the red carpet and one foot in the school pickup line. In this case, one walking boot in the school pickup line. Because then we fly home on Tuesday and immediately go to a volleyball game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to one of the dad friends, and he's like, how are you getting around to the boot? I was like, this boot was at an Emmy party Sunday. And he was like, what? It's one of the few dad friends that I enjoy talking to at the volleyball game. So there's a couple. I actually am getting along with the volleyball dads.
There's some good ones.
There's some good ones.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, also, no, that's it. That's all we got, right?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say I left my phone in the rental car and I had to run through the Burbank airport. Yeah.
Which shows how much of a passenger princess you are with me.
Yeah. Colorado.
You flew, though. You were great. It's a good airport to forget your phone in because it's a short security line. But
yeah, that was a whole thing.
But it's a real role reversal there.
Because I drove because of the ankle
dust boot,
but you plugged your phone in, and as I put my phone in that center console, like, I knew it was gone.
Yeah
I got to our gate and realized I didn't have my phone.
A long time again because all the stuff's on my phone.
Yeah,
the Starbucks app, the boarding passes, everything was for you.
Thank God it worked out.
Yeah
Mm-hmm.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. We want to give a special shout out and thanks to our As Essential as Oils level patrons. That's $25 up a month and up. You get it. Thank you, everybody. It means a lot to us. That is Adam Bush.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Carrie Teague.
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finlin.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Damaris Diaz Steven.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jen Thurk.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Norman Perron.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Also, if that's Perrin, I'm sorry. Also, Preston and Rachel Wilson. I'm sorry if we mess these up. We're trying our best.
You're up.
Raina Camps.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Steven Menya.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle.
And Tiffany Payne. Bye.
Thank you.